So this morning, we'll be taking communion together. And it's so simple. Communion is so simple. You can explain its meaning to a small child. And yet it's profound in what it represents. We are to remember the death of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice he made on the cross, the giving up of his body and the spilling of his blood. That's what this represents. And we also remember the resurrection of Jesus and how those of us that know him, have accepted him, that have come under his lordship, will share in that resurrection when this life is over. And we also think of other things. Other things can come to mind when we're thinking about the sacrifice that Jesus made. And one of the things I think about, especially when I'm thinking about the resurrection that we'll all participate in, we'll all experience, is how Jesus makes everything new. And that is the title of today's sermon. Jesus makes everything new. And it seems apropos for the first sermon of 2024. Today I'll mostly be in Revelation chapter 21. If you'd like to turn there or tap there on your screen. If you didn't bring one of those, you can grab a pew Bible and turn to page 1075. 1075. Revelation 21. I'll be there in a few minutes. The dates on a calendar are arbitrary. And ours is not the only calendar. I don't know if you've studied any of that, but like today is not January 7th everywhere. Today is Shavuot, if I'm saying it right, Shavuot the 26th, the year 5784 on the Jewish calendar. And it's not the new year. The new year shows up in about September, October, depending on the year. The new year lasts a couple of days, so it's not going to turn to the year 5785 until October 2nd, and that celebration will last through October 4th. On the Persian calendar, sometimes known as the Iranian calendar, which is one of the oldest calendars in the world, today it's the 17th day, but D-E-Y, not day, D-A-Y, the 17th of day, the year 1402. On the Muslim calendar, it's the 25th of, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, Jumada Taniya, and it's the year 1445. And then you get to Christmas. We just had Christmas a couple of weeks ago, and it's not Christmas everywhere in the world on December 25th. Today is Christmas Day for most Orthodox Christians. And yesterday was Christmas in the Armenian Apostolic Church. And that church is one of the oldest Christian churches in the world. It predates us by a long shot. So what we call a day, a date, a year, a holiday, where the holiday falls, it truly is arbitrary. Some things are fixed. The earth revolves around the sun. We all know that. And it takes 365 days, 5 hours, 59 minutes, and 16 seconds. So it's not really true when we say it takes 365 days. A year is not that long. It's a little longer than that, which is why we have leap years, and we're going to have a leap year this year to make up for that. The other thing that is fixed is the rotation of the earth is one day. You know, wherever you want to stick the time, it doesn't matter, but from sun up till the next 24 hours go by, that's one day. And that's been since the beginning of time. You can read about it in Genesis where it calls it a day. Even our time zones are arbitrary. We've got the 4 time zones in the lower 48, and then there's 2 more, one for Alaska, one for Hawaii. Some countries like China, they only have 1 time zone, even though it's a massive country. So the day today, I say January 7th, doesn't mean much to you. These imaginary and arbitrary things, they do affect us personally. And it does drive culture. Imagine if today we celebrated Christmas. That would be a whole different take on what we do culturally. So it doesn't really mean much to most of you, January 7th. But what if January 7th is the day on the calendar when someone close to you died? What if you got married on January 7th? Or your birthday falls on January 7th? I don't know any that fall on that day today. Then January 7th becomes a lot more important to you. It's more significant to you. And even then, when we think about leap years and so forth, it's not literally 365 days later. We've got the leap year, and that kind of moves things around. And we attach meanings to dates. I do too, even though they're not real. It's a new year right now, even though it really isn't. It's not a new year. It's just the part we, or the space we mark the earth and how long it takes to go around the sun again. But in our minds, it's a new year. Monday was a New Year's Day. We've celebrated a little bit on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and we think, oh, it's a new year. And sometimes when a new year on the calendar comes, we decide, well, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to stop doing this. Or 2024 is going to be the year I finally, you know, fill in your blank. Well, why not start that or stop that on July 13th or August 12th or February 10th? Those dates are a good day to start something new. Before we get to our Revelation verses, I'm going to warm up by showing you a few from Isaiah 43. Very interesting verses. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. They'll be on the screens, but you're certainly welcome to. I'm reading from the NIV today, the New International Version. So let me set up some context. God is speaking to his people, not everyone. And so if you know Jesus, you call him Lord, you've been adopted into his family. You are part of God's family, and so he's speaking to us. He's not giving a general address to all human beings here. So look at Isaiah 43, starting in verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. That's referring to when the Israelites crossed on dry land through the Red Sea. And then once they got across safely, the Egyptian army was chasing them, and then God closed that path, and the water fell on them and took out everything, chariots, people, horses, everything. Now, with that in mind, God is saying, remember this, I did this in the past. With that in mind, look at verse 18, the first part of 19. Forget the former things. He just told them about something mighty he did. He doesn't mean like completely never talk about it again. But forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. That's key. Do not dwell on the past. And he says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And I mentioned this before, and if you know Jesus, you have been adopted into his family. You were a full member of God's family. And he is doing new things around you and in you constantly. We need to be aware of it and look for it and be open to what Jesus wants to do in us as people, as families, as a church. Because Jesus continually makes everything new. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past, it says in verse 18. So let's look at some verses in Revelation 21, really quick context. Most of Revelation talks about things that are going to happen as the return of Christ comes nearer and nearer. And be assured, the Bible teaches us that the return of Christ will be visible, it will be literal, it's not some metaphor for something else. Jesus is coming back, and if you're alive when he does, you're not going to miss it, don't worry. He'll make himself known. By the time we get to chapter 21, we're kind of at the end of the end game. So with that in mind, let's look at just the first two verses of chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Now, men, don't get squeamish about that word picture. It's just a word picture. It doesn't mean you're going to be literally dressed like a bride waiting for Jesus. But a beautiful bride waiting for her husband, or her to be husband. Here's a picture of what Jerusalem looks like now. This is current, or a fairly current picture. The majesty of the temple, which was still around when Jesus walked the earth, and for many years after, several decades after, it was already gone. The temple was gone. All we had, and it's really hard to see in that picture, but all we have to this day is the Temple Mount, kind of the foundation of the temple. And there's part of the temple when the Romans came in 70 AD and kind of destroyed Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple. There are still large stones from the original temple on the ground next to the Temple Mount. I find that fascinating, and I'm going to hopefully get to see them along with my wife Diana this fall sometime. They're looking at November, but it kind of depends on what's going on over there and if it's safe to go. Now, unfortunately, as you can see in the middle of the picture, there's a Muslim temple there on top of the Temple Mount, and it's called the Dome of the Rock, and it was built originally in 692. And there's been renovations, additions since then, but the original was put there in the same spot in 692. But it doesn't matter if there's a Muslim temple sitting on top of a Jewish temple mount, because the one true God wins in the end. You can find out in chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation. And no building, not that building or any other building, is going to get in the way of God bringing forth his plan. And then it says, we read this a second ago, there'll be a new Jerusalem. And the new Jerusalem is going to come out of heaven. I don't have the capacity to know what that looks like, but it's really fun to imagine. Well, what will that look like? How glorious will it be when the new Jerusalem descends down and we'll get to see that? Let's pick it up in verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They, that's us, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And we like this next verse. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Just ruminate on that for a second. Can you imagine everything that's ever hurt you, every person you miss because of death or a relationship that has come apart, all that sadness? It says he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Man, I look forward to that. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. That's the words of Jesus. I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to die. We're all in this room. We're going to die someday. But those of you that don't know Jesus, or anybody that doesn't know Jesus, is going to experience a second death according to the Bible. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on that verse. It's really not the main part of what I want to talk about today. But I included it to encourage those of you that know Jesus. You've got nothing to worry about. And think about this. I know that sometimes as believers in Jesus and we trust in him for everything, but we still see injustice in the world. Sometimes we experience injustice on small scale, large scale. And we see people being mistreated and exploited, things like that. And it really upsets us. Like, how can these people get away with all this stuff? It's terrible. Well, God has plans for those folks. And I don't say that in a vengeful way, but God has plans for those folks. If they don't turn to Jesus, that's their fate. So let's go back to verse 5 again. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So Jesus makes everything new, and he promises you could trust these words. They are truth from Jesus himself. And Jesus always keeps his promises. There is not one promise that Jesus has made that he has broken, and he never will. And again, the context of most of Revelation is about the future from the perspective of our time-boundness. But it applies to us now in the present as well. Because the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is now. It's not just a someday. It is a someday, but it's not only a someday. The kingdom is now. Jesus is working. The Holy Spirit is moving. The church is advancing. I hope you'll read Revelation 21 and 22 before you go to bed tonight. I promise, if you read that, if you haven't read it in a while, you will go to sleep encouraged tonight. Because God is doing something new, and he plans to do new things in the future. And most of these things our minds cannot comprehend. But I sure do look forward to the new things that Jesus has for all of us. I'm going to bounce back into the Old Testament to Lamentations. It'll be on the screen. You don't have to turn there. I won't be there long. You don't really hear too many sermons out of Lamentations, do you? If you've read Lamentations, it's kind of sad and a lot of complaining to God and so forth. It's laments is what it's about. It's really an interesting book to read, though, to read in context. But when you do hear a verse from Lamentations, it's usually on these two verses. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I think there's a pretty good song based on that verse. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Now I'm going to bounce back to Revelation. Oh, I showed it in the NLT. I just messed that up. All right. There it is in the NLT, just to give you a different take on it. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Now let's look at Revelation 21:5 for the third time, this time in the NLT. And the one sitting on the throne, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Very similar to the NIV. So what are we to make of these verses, all this new talk, and the newness that the Lord Jesus promises both for our future, our long-term future, our eternal future, and our immediate future. He promises newness. He gives newness. Don't assume that this newness, these things that he's going to renew, only apply when you're going through hard times, although it certainly does apply when you're going through hard times. You can look at the promises of Jesus and know he's going to make things right and things are going to eventually put back the way they were supposed to be. But really, this applies to good times too. Because in the reality of time that we are bound to on earth, and the reality of calendars, we can look back when times were good. We can think about good times maybe from our childhood or family or something like that. The thing is, it's okay to remember those things, have good memories, but we can get stuck there. And even good times can keep us from moving forward to where Jesus wants to take us. Good times and bad times, anything in the past, including this service up to this second, now up to this second, now up to this second, it's frozen in time and you can't do anything about it. You can't go back in time and change anything, although that would be a kind of a handy tool, wouldn't it? But you can't do anything about them, good and bad. You can learn from them. But you can't change them. And we don't want to get stuck there. As a person, as your family, as a church, we can look back and say, oh, things used to be good, and this was the good old days, and so forth, and this is how we used to do things. Even though those memories, and you have to face this is part of human nature, it's a survival technique. Our memories are not accurate. We remember the good things better than they really were, and we kind of, our minds have the ability to kind of fade out some of the bad things. We may remember the event, but we're not stuck in deep grief all the time. And so our minds, that God designed our minds to filter some of that out. But we can get stuck there trying to recreate, especially the good things again. But we can't. God talks about doing new things, not dwelling on the past. He talks about the things he's going to do when it's time for Jesus to come back. But he tells us, don't get stuck in the past, good or bad. What we have now, this second, this moment, what you have on earth is now until the day of your death in this world. And I don't know how long that's going to be for myself or anybody else. And in that time we have, we don't know how long it is. We need to reach people for Jesus. We need to teach people in Jesus' name. We need to serve people in Jesus' name. There are people that don't know him. You might think everybody you know is saved. I get that, because that's kind of the circles you run in. There are thousands of people in Morgan County, in Montauk County, that don't know the Lord, and they need to hear about him. God is making everything new, and he wants to do it in you. He wants to do it in all of us. So don't wallow in the bad. I mean, it's hard sometimes to kind of get past some of that, but Jesus will help. Call on his name. Don't rest on the good. Well, this is how it was, and you know, we'll keep doing it that way. Jesus says he's making everything new, but to be part of what Jesus is doing, we must do life his way. We need to be in the scripture. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit and his leading. So we don't give up because of bad things, and we don't look back on those things and wallow in them, but we also don't brag about how it was, the good things, and we don't get proud about those things. Jesus is making everything new. Will you choose to be part of what he is doing now and into the future? Or are we going to hold on to the past, which God literally said in Isaiah, don't do that. He said, don't hang on to the past. Don't cling to the past. So calendar is arbitrary, although it doesn't feel like it. We're stuck with it. Our brains are stuck with it. And it tells us it's a new year. That could be a good reminder that God is making everything new. And he plans to keep doing so. Because every new year, every new month, every new week, every new day, every new hour, Jesus is making everything new. And as we take communion together this morning, I'm going to challenge you to try to make it personal. So we take communion together, and that's important. We take it as a body. It's encouraging. It's a good thing to take it together. But we also take communion as an act of relationship between us and Jesus as individuals. So would you do this for me? Take one thing this morning. Doesn't have to be a lot of things. Take one thing from the past that you're hanging on to. It could be something bad. It might be something good that you need to move on to. I'll let the Holy Spirit talk to you about that. So good or bad, bring it to Jesus as we remember what he did for us. He gave us his body. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And then he rose from the dead to offer salvation and the promise of our own resurrection with him when that time comes.